The world spins round on politics. Recently, I've been intrigued by politics, of all things, but mostly how students understand politics. How do college students come to the opinions that they have? Who affects them and what do they read? This is in no way designed to target anyone. It's simply out of curiosity about how the world works. That's podcasting, isn't it? You want to learn something. You just may not know it yet. I spoke to Zach from the previous episode about more conservative perspectives in students, considering he is a rather outspoken right-leaning person. And I spoke to Emily, who is a strongly left-leaning person. I didn't tell either of them what the other one said, which proved interesting to see what they both independently brought up.
To not sound like a stereotype, I get my news from Twitter and Facebook and social media. But whenever I see something that sounds like it would have a bias on it, I research into it further. And usually I look at if Fox News has something and then if CNN has something. Because those are infamously the most conservative and most liberal news websites. So I like to get both sides of the story. But mostly just social media, because I'm on there anyways, and then I'll see something and I'm like, okay, that's really cool. My grandparents always watched Fox News, so for me that was always the right side of the spectrum, not right, the right side of the spectrum to go to for that, for news.
Right, correct?
No, right as in Republican. Okay. Conservative, yeah. And then CNN, I remember when I was really young, my grandma said that CNN was trash because it was liberally biased. And so I was like, okay, I need to go to CNN for news as far as a liberal bias goes. Because if she hates it so much because it's liberal, then I have to use it to get that side of the story. Because obviously it's something she doesn't like. I think a lot of this is going to go back to my grandparents. Just because every time I would go over to their house, they'd be listening to Fox News or watching Fox News and talking bad about Democrats. And so that's kind of where I got my basis. But that's not so much what I believe now. I just think politics and news in general is really interesting because it's everyone has a different opinion. There's obviously people that follow party lines, and those are the worst kind of people. And then there's people that form their own opinions and have a different opinion on everything. And I think the best thing is the country we live in, people can disagree and not be, you know, executed for it. Like I can disagree with Trump and not be killed for it. So I think just the fact that there's differing opinions and everything is basically a theory, because nobody knows exactly how something's going to work out, like how policy works out. So I just think that everything's so flexible. I really enjoyed that. Opinion's right or wrong, or opinion is not right or wrong. People can believe that and they can use facts to back up their opinions, but at the end of the day, everyone's going to believe something differently. And no matter how much you argue with someone, you're not going to change that. Which is something that I need to listen to myself more.
So, you have gotten in political arguments with other students?
Yeah, we can say that, yes. And I think the thing is it's a lot of people that I'm close with, and it doesn't hurt our relationships as much as you think it would. Because one of my best friends is pretty liberal, and him and I, we don't fight. We disagree on certain topics, and we're still really close friends.
I'm really intrigued by the idea of family-inspired political interest. Zach is interested in politics because his grandparents were. The next part of our conversation shifted into a different realm because Zach wanted to debate. Granted, that just ended in me nodding and agreeing a lot, because he made valid points from his perspective.
I don't know. I like to argue, but I like to be right. So if I know I'm going to lose, I won't. I don't know how this counts as a student, but more so just in general, being someone that identifies as a conservative, there's this mindset that everyone who's a conservative is just hateful. They hate minorities, they hate women, they hate gays, they hate everyone, trans, everything. And for me, it's not that way, obviously. I mean, my best friend's gay and a Democrat and Hispanic. So, right, I mean, that doesn't explain anything, but it's just everyone on my side of the spectrum is seen as hateful because policies that we typically want to enact don't help them. It doesn't hand them things out, which is something that the other side of the spectrum tends to do because they're all about social welfare. And that's fine if you believe in that. But this side isn't about that. And since we're not trying to help everyone, we're seen as hateful, especially as a student, because I'm here to get an education. I'm not here to be judged by people. So it's becoming acceptable to hate straight people because they've never been persecuted for their beliefs. It's okay to hate white people because they've never been persecuted for their skin color, and men because we've always been in charge and the patriarchy and all that kind of stuff. But I think that really goes against the whole mantra of equality that is really strong right now in literally every community. It's all about equality. But from my point of view, it looks more, especially from the feminist movement. There we go. I got it. It's more about putting women above men. I know that's not what it's about, but that's what it seems like it is at some points. It seems like it's more about putting women above men because men have been above women for so long. And that's just uneven. It's like, makes it an uneven playing field, I guess.
Okay, that's understandable.
Let's argue. Come on.
I don't really argue anything. I like that makes sense. I would rather have a level playing field than, I mean, of course I want to be CEO, mm-hmm. and it might be harder to get there because I'm a woman, but I'm not going to be like, well, because I'm a woman, I have to be CEO.
Exactly. That was a lot of like when people voted for Obama because he was black or Hillary because she was a woman. It's you're destroying the whole point of democracy. You're voting for people because of something that they can't control, which is kind of like discriminating against someone for something they can't control. But
I mean, most of the people in the recent election voted for one or the other based on trust, I guess.
Oh, God, I wouldn't trust either of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard like, well, I would trust him more than her or the vice versa. And it was, I mean, I still hear that now, post-election, mm-hmm. over a year, so.
I would trust a brick more than I would trust either. Yeah, let's get that out there before anyone draws the conclusions. I don't support Trump as a politician. I support him as president because he's our president. I don't want him to do poorly because then America does poorly. So my friends from back home from high school, they call me too liberal. And then my friends here call me too conservative. So, and it's usually always on the same topic because I like to split it down the middle, because if you go radical one way or the other, you're wrong. Sorry. Like you shouldn't be radical either way. You should stand up for what you believe in, but you shouldn't be radical. So being straight down the middle, it's almost like nobody is happy with you, because trying to be a moderate in a place where voters are becoming more moderate as a whole in America, but it seems as if the radicals are growing as well, and that's becoming more obvious.
So it's like the officials are growing in radicalness, but the voters are more moderate.
Yes, and it's almost as if politicians don't understand that the voters want them to be moderate, because Bernie was not moderate, and Trump tried to portray himself as not moderate, and it's weird because that's not what the voters want, and they're very, very distant from what the voters actually want. And that's why a lot of people had problems this election cycle. It's the better of two evils, worse of...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So just being in the middle, it's really difficult because we're in such a divided society, and having two different friend groups that think I'm something different, it's just really weird. Because
do you have an example, like the situation?
All of it is on really touchy social subjects that would make people dislike my friends. They don't know them because they're from high school. But let's say Let's go with this, because this is a good one. We'll go with gay rights, okay. Because that's not a touchy subject at all. So I have a friend from high school. I say friend. I use it loosely. He said that he is better than a gay person because they're gay, which is stupid. It doesn't make any sense. I can understand being uncomfortable with the idea, but so I called him out for it, and I gave him so much crap that he ended up leaving our group message, and he hasn't talked to me since, so we'll see how that goes. But then in my friend group here, one of my best friends is gay, and so if we get on the topic, he's very, not like gay pride as in he talks about it all the time, but it's very obvious to see that whenever we get on the subject that he's more for it than I am, obviously because he's gay, but he's more open to the idea of being publicly gay, which I don't think that's a bad thing, but I think you have to be smart about it because there's a lot of people that don't accept that kind of thing. So personally, I would warn someone against being publicly gay, not to shut up who they are, but because I would be afraid of the backlash that they would receive, and not like not being open, but just being openly flamboyant somewhere. I don't know if that made any sense.
I mean, yeah, that does make sense.
But I said it, so
what's up? I talked with someone that I worked with about that sort of idea, and he was talking about the fact that a lot of straight guys are really uncomfortable with gay guys just because of their femininity.
Yes. No, not feminism. Femininity?
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah.
Because that's what they have been taught to not be like. And so it's just a sort of clash of what you grew up learning to what you see, and that's what makes it the most uncomfortable, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's you hit like a girl, man up, don't... I'm not going to say that, never mind. But it's just all these euphemisms and phrases that instill you have to be masculine or you're not a man. And I mean, if someone wants to believe that, go for it. I can't change that. But I don't agree with that. People should be allowed to be who they are. And a man being feminine, as weird as you might think it is, it's just, they're just another person. And
so, at least you have a more like open opinion on that.
So I guess if I had to go like politically for a party, I would say I'm more libertarian, but the Libertarian Party does such a terrible job of being a party that I would hate to say I'm a libertarian. But every other party is so radical that it's the only option. Because socially, I don't really care. Do whatever you want. Like, be gay, be a man, be whatever you want to be. I don't care. It doesn't affect me. So, and obviously economically and politically, I'm right. That's where I get the conservative part from.
Okay, is so on, you lean that way on...
Yeah, small government, low taxes, stuff like that. But whenever it comes socially, and that's all anyone cares about anymore is social issues, especially in college, because we're all affected by it. The old people that actually vote, they're not affected by any of it. They've already set up a life for themselves. They're not going to be discriminated against at this point. They already have a resume and everything that they need to be successful. But as, say, an 18-year-old black girl, you're going to fight for yourself because you still have your whole life to live. So they want to stand up more for what they believe in. So fake news has become a meme. It became one as soon as Donald Trump started using the phrase regularly. And I think it's funny because if someone can say something you disagree with and you just shout fake news and everyone laughs and it's great. I think fake news in and of itself is a problem. I don't think anyone puts out fake news, like literally fake news. They just fudge the numbers or they misquote someone to help it fit their agenda, which is fake. It's not real news, but it's not as if they're just going up there and saying something that's completely wrong. They're working with what they have to make it fit their agenda. But the term fake news, I've always thought it's a funny one because you can use it in almost every context. Because if someone says something that's not true or you can tell that they're fibbing a little bit, just anything, really. You can tell them. You can just scream fake news, and they'll either get mad at you or laugh at you. And either way, you're in for a good time, so...
Emily's political ideas were also fostered by her family, but on the other side of the political scale. She also gained a lot of her perspectives from her experience. It was interesting to me to see how she made her choices versus Zach and how she talked about education and social situations. They are both very different people who have never met, so I was also interested in the fact that they both independently brought up similar things.
I politically consider myself affiliated with the Democrat Party, I guess. I'm definitely more liberal. I got to this point basically because my parents started letting me travel and seeing the world when I was really young, and I discovered that there is more to the world than the United States, and the United States isn't doing a great job, and it never really has. And so basically for me, my parents always fostered my learning. And aside from what I was learning about school and the white side of history, my parents kind of expanded on that and made sure I knew the whole story and made sure I was a genuine person and cared about others. And so they really just fostered me growing up. So my dad was a history professor. And so when I would come home from school and say, you know, like, oh, well, this is what I learned in school today, he would say, well, this is not really what happened. And so I got the whitewashed history in school, and when I would go home, Dad would expand and say, well, this is what actually happened on Thanksgiving. Like, this is what actually happened with the Native Americans, and this is what happened with slavery. Like, it wasn't just, okay, it was kind of a bad time and we're over it. It was, no, this is how the effects are still felt. And so I got that, you know, that worldview, and I went to England when I was 11 and Australia when I was 12, and I studied at Duke for 4 summers, and so I met other intelligent people, and I just found that these other intelligent people really kind of understood the world. And I was taking classes at Duke with, like, I had a gay instructor one time, and it was a whole new experience because I'd never had a gay teacher in school before, and I didn't know he was. He told us on the last day, and I was like, you know, that's interesting, but, like, there were kids who were, you know, upset that they'd taken a class with a gay instructor for 3 weeks. And it's just, I think everybody should be as accepted as I am. My parents made sure that I appreciated everybody. Dad would always ask, like, hey, what are you learning about in history? And so I would come home and I would, you know, tell him what I learned in class that day. And then he'd say, well, here's a book that you can read. And most of them were pretty easy reading. He had them on his bookshelves for, like, he was a college professor, so they were pretty easy reading for freshmen or whatever. And he would say, well, here, you're going to read this and then we're going to talk about it. And so I started reading textbooks instead of fiction books and chapter books. And so I started becoming interested in history. And then eventually I got to where, well, what's the world like today? And so I started, you know, asking my dad, like, what news sources should I look for? Because I wanted them to be reputable, obviously. Mom and I listened to NPR in the morning when we got ready, and then I'd ask her questions or I'd ask Dad questions about what was going on. And so they made sure that when we were listening to news in a car or I was reading something, that it was actually what was going on, instead of just, you know, some biased news source. And so I probably, like, when I entered kindergarten, I just became interested in, like, what's going on in the world. Like, it's just so big, you know. When I was 11, I had friends in other countries, so I'd be like, hey, you know, what do you think of this? Like, how does it look to you as a non-American? And so I still do that. And so that's just, you know, pretty early. I don't remember an exact time, but just really early, I, with my parents' help, just started wondering about the world and looking at news. I have friends in I have a friend in Morocco. I have a friend in Iran. I have a friend in Jordan. I have friends in Australia. I have friends that I met up with when we went to Australia. And so when I was in Albuquerque last week, you know, I met up with a guy that I hadn't seen in 7 years from one of my trips. And so it's nice having friends. I have a friend in every single state of the U.S., including Hawaii and Alaska. I have friends in England. I have friends in France. And so it's just, you know, like I will send them a Facebook message and say like, hey, how are you? Or if I hear something about their country, be like, well, what do you think of this? Or like with the election, I would message them and say, hey, well, you know, what is your perspective on this? And so, yeah, I keep up with them because I want to know what they think not living in Texas and the U.S.
Recently, a lot of things that happen are very partisan based, right. Even though there's a lot of gray area in politics.
Yeah.
And you could have opinions on both sides, and that's fine. But recently, it's either you're one or the other, and there's nothing else, it seems like. Do you think that that sort of partisan-based news and them reporting only what their readers want to hear is good or bad for the democracy in general?
I think it's really bad. Like, usually I don't even read, you know, left-leaning news because it's only telling me what I want to hear. And that's not helping me, you know, appreciate the position that the other side might have. And I think it needs to be right down the middle, very factual. And then we can base our opinions around what the facts are and how we feel about how those facts should be dealt with. But I don't think left-leaning or right-leaning news is helpful for anybody because everybody already has those views and they're just reading that news or watching that news to feel better about themselves and have their views validated.
Okay, so, like, it's not news, it's, like, comfort reading.
It's definitely comfort reading. It is news, but it's news that we've manipulated to make us feel better about how we feel about that news.
How do you think that students come to their political opinions?
I think a lot of it has to do with where and how you were raised, and a lot of it has to do with how open your mind is. So, like, for me, my parents were one way, and I kind of followed in their footsteps because that's... they were who I wanted to be and they saw the world how I wanted to see the world. It wasn't that my parents forced me into something and I felt pressured to, you know, be left-leaning like they are. It was, you know, if they had felt one way and I hadn't, I don't think my parents would have ever, you know, not liked me or what's the word I'm looking for?
Disowned?
Yeah, disowned me or... tried to manipulate me into seeing their side, they would have fostered whatever I felt because there's issues we agree on. My mom and I were talking about something last week that we don't necessarily agree on, but she supports me in whatever I decide. And she wants to make sure I'm informed before I make a decision. And so I think having students all together in a place where they can be themselves and free of influence from their parents makes them more comfortable and they can be how they want to be. And so, like obviously there's people who didn't change how they were in high school, but I think a lot of it is that parental influence and that small town influence, especially in East Texas where I'm from. And so in college, it's very different and nobody really has to know how you voted or how you feel. You just kind of do it because there's nobody breathing down your neck anymore. I think that students learn a lot in political science. I'm a political science major, so maybe I'm a little biased, but political science classes, history classes, learning about what has happened and what's going on in the world today is very important for those opinions. But I know like STEM students come in and don't think they need to take humanities classes, but you're going to vote. And I think all too often students don't vote or don't care about things that don't apply to them. And then, so they don't vote or they don't get involved. And then all of a sudden something happens and it's affecting them. And that's a problem that needs to be fixed. So you've kind of got to, you kind of have to be aware of the issues at all times. And even if it's not directly affecting you, think about how it's going to affect your family, your friends, people you know in college.
Your future.
Right. Like if, you know, if you want to travel the world, like how is that going to affect you in the future? How might the world look in 20 years if this issue plays out? So I think that's important for people to take into consideration because people get lazy and they don't care and they don't read the news because it's just one more thing that they have to do. And I think that's what's killing us. And so when I went to Ukraine last summer, everybody that I met over there asked about how I felt about Trump. And it's cool, but also terrifying that that's who everybody outside of the U.S. sees us. Like that is the label on the U.S. is President Trump. And, you know, I don't necessarily agree with him, but I think we need to do a better job, because like that is what people see. And so when they meet Americans, they're like, oh, well, obviously you agree with him because you voted for him. And everything is so different outside of the US, and especially in Eastern Europe. Like, they used to be part of the Soviet Union. Like, they're still feeling the effects of the Soviet Union. Like, people want to go back to the Soviet Union, which we don't understand. But we were talking about it in class yesterday. The GDP per capita is lower now in Ukraine than it was at the end of the Soviet Union. And so I think it's pretty cool that people see that Soviet Union as something to go back to, something to strive for, because they were so powerful. And so I'm actually doing my honors thesis on the dean of the university that I studied at last summer in Kharkiv, Ukraine, was a fighter pilot during the Cold War. And so my mom works with somebody who was a fighter pilot during the Cold War for the U.S. And so I'm going to interview both of them. And World War II is very different, the way that they look at World War II, because the U.S. didn't become involved until so late. So like, the U.S. sees D-Day as the turning point in World War II, but the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, any of those satellite states, now see the Battle of Stalingrad as the turning point in World War II. And so it's just so different how the U.S. changes everything to make it seem like we're the good guys and we were the ones who had the impact, when really we weren't. And so with my thesis, what I hope to do is, you know, analyze like what was the Cold War like on that side of the world, because Eastern Europe was destroyed in World War II and the Cold War was rough for them. And so really just like looking at the world, like we see there's t-shirts that come out with like the U.S. was World War II champs. And it's just not a thing for Eastern Europe. And so it's super interesting for me, just looking at, you know, how World War II and the Cold War and current events are looked at through somebody else's lenses.
Even though I'm considered an adult, I don't understand how the world works. No students really do. The majority of us don't even know how to pay taxes, but we have to understand political decisions in the world today. We have to evaluate and think forward, and sometimes that's so hard with what is laid out in front of us. We are the future, and we know that, but the future is a scary place. I will likely continue to be interested in how students evaluate political decisions for quite some time after this. Hopefully, in the future, both parties, whether they are adults or students, can work to better understand each other and to build the best tomorrow. I'm Emma Anderson, your host for Points of Interest.
Points of Interest is produced by KETR-FM in Commerce, Texas. The executive producer is Jared Knight. Support for this podcast comes from its listeners. Show your support by donating at KETR.org today.